This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Leaping from the edge of the lake where the concrete walkway meets the water, a man in Chicago plunged into Lake Michigan every day for an entire year. What started as a spontaneous and solitary act mid-pandemic has transformed into a public spectacle of sorts with a gathering of friends, family, and occasionally local musicians. On his 365th day of jumping into the lake, a crowd of more than 90 people came together to watch Dan do his thing as he climbed up a ladder positioned at the edge of the lake to take his leap. Guitarist Jeff Tweedy of Wilco turned up to commemorate the moment.
Spiders are singing in the salty breeze. Spiders are filling out tax returns. Spinning out webs of deductions and melodies on a public beach on Lake Michigan. Woo!
Go jump in a lake, and he took it literally. Joining us now is the great lake jumper himself, Dan O'Connor. Dan, welcome to the 21st.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, we want to know if there's a ritual you picked up during the pandemic and have continued to maintain. Give us a call. 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455 is the number. Okay, Dan, I've got a lot of questions, not least of which is how you came to know Jeff Tweedy of Wilco and get him to come out for you, but we can come back to that a little later. Can you take us back to day one when you jumped into the lake? What was going on?
Well, what was going on? I had a hangover, but what was going on in the world was the three P's, the pandemic, politics, and the protests. And so, you know, it was a very dark time and really unsure of what the future looked like in Chicago. I mean, the beach was locked down. I mean, the lakefront was closed, and I pedaled my bike down to the lakefront and really was close to cars. Anyone who was walking or running or biking, security had no problem with, they didn't stop anyone. So I just went out to the lakefront, and it was a beautiful day and a beautiful view of downtown. And after I dove in, it felt so great that it felt like something I should repeat the next day.
You know, people who don't swim in Lake Michigan often might not realize how cold it can be, even in June. What was that actual feeling like of immersing yourself on that first day?
You know, I've been saying for years that a jump in Lake Michigan is worth a half hour nap. And, you know, it, you know, also chased the hangover. So those two things combined, it felt really good.
And I mean, was it what made you think, okay, day one, was it a one-off thing, or when did it start to, you know, what brought you back on day two?
Yeah, I think just that. Even a momentary, I found a little bit of peace down there. I found a little bit of Zen, and just that became my ritual of riding my bike down, playing some music through a Bluetooth speaker, and just having some time to myself. And then getting down there and clearing everything from the deck and kind of starting the day anew.
And at some point, I mean, this has become a trend. Were there days when you decided or had to sort of drag yourself out? I mean, before we even get into the winter and the icing and everything else, did it become a challenge to keep it going? What kept it sustained for you?
You know, I think in November, when it started getting wintry, when it started snowing, you know, I think that's when people started calling me crazy and telling me I couldn't do it through the winter. And that was when I took the kind of can-do attitude and said, why not? This is something that's making me feel good. It seems to be galvanizing people online, reaching out, strangers saying, this is fun. This is something light. This is something whimsical that is brightening my day. And so just, you know, those factors, it helped me keep going. And I don't think there was really a day that I was like, oh, this is, you know, such a hassle. It always felt like it was positive. I was looking forward to the next day.
Yeah, absolutely. But okay, so as you do get into the winter months, even if your mental attitude is in the right place, you start to encounter these physical challenges. So how do you deal with ice on the lake, for example?
So I started bringing a shovel and a hammer. And when the, you know, I would basically lean down on the ladder and chop ice and a spot big enough to for me to jump into. And there were several days where it was 6 to 8 inches of ice where I could chop some, but not a huge, you know, not enough for me to jump off, you know, the cement into it. So I lowered myself. I basically just walked down the ladder and dunked myself and then came out. But, you know, the hammer I used to kind of clear the ice off the ladder to get out. And, you know, that I was trying to be very careful. I think that was one of the other things, kind of clearing my mind of everything else, because I knew there was a danger element to it. And I needed to find a safe pathway into the lake and, more importantly, a safe pathway out of the lake.
Yeah, and it made me wonder if you had any sort of scares or any, you know, close calls as you were down in this freezing cold water.
Yeah, no, I mean, not really. You know, there were a couple of days where, in, you know, hindsight, I probably would have left the open water and gone into the harbor where it was a little rough. I mean, there's one day in particular, I had a banjo player down playing and, you know, say the waves were 4 feet and I jumped in, I got back to the ladder, and then this massive wave came over me. So from my friend's video, who shot the video, I disappear for a few seconds. And I never felt like I wasn't going to get out. I was just waiting for that wave to recede and then, you know, check over my shoulder to make sure there wasn't a large wave before I exited the water.
Yeah. And again, people who may not be as familiar with the Lake Michigan shoreline, you can get some pretty, pretty heavy waves coming up and crashing there. And we've seen high lake levels. We had a conversation on that on the show earlier this year. Were there points when you were going down there where the water was, you know, where it felt like, oh God, you know, let's get this over with today?
Yeah, no, there was definitely, you know, last year, I've seen a change from last year to this year. Last year and through the winter, the water was almost at the cement's edge. And so it would, you know, a wave would come and it would roll up onto the cement and then that would turn to ice. And so there was a lot of times where I was, you know, I was walking like a 75-year-old man, 6 inches at a time. And, you know, just wanted to be careful and made sure I, you know, had a safe entry and exit to the water. And then I don't know when, but it's, I would say from my personal perspective, the lake is a foot lower than it was last year. And I don't know if that's because of the drought or what it is, but it is not lapping up against the water as much at the Montrose Steps where I typically go in.
Interesting. Yeah, and there have been times where I've seen it even lower than that in the past. Let me take a moment to remind listeners, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Dan O'Connor. This is the 21st. He's from Chicago and made a ritual out of jumping into Lake Michigan every day for a year, starting during the pandemic. I wonder, of all the jumps you've done into the lake, was there one that stands out to you as the most memorable, and why?
You know, I think just the 365 that, you know, and I had been saying for months, oh, I'm going to, you know, I had musicians coming down from January on who, you know, were playing a song or two and giving them an opportunity to, you know, kind of show their craft when the stages that they were playing are closed. You know, these music venues, these small businesses of Chicago were the first to close and they'll be the last to open. So I partnered with them with Civil, CIVLChicago.com, to help raise funds. I started having people online reach out and like, this is great. I'm enjoying this. How can I support you? How can I donate? And so I threw my support behind Civil, and just the musicians, once they started coming down, I think that put more wind in my sails, and it just became, you know, kind of more of a communal spirit. That these were the clubs of Chicago. These were the musicians of Chicago. And I, you know, I would say, but 365 was the culmination of that. And for months I said, oh yeah, I'm going to have, you know, a party up here on 365 to commemorate a year. And I had a friend who donated 60 pounds of pulled pork. I had a friend who donated 50 pounds of sausage. And it was beyond my wildest dreams how many people showed up, and it coincided with the night before was the lifting of capacity restrictions in Illinois and in Chicago. So it was very celebratory in that respect. You know, there was a lot of hugs, and, you know, after a year of not being having that close contact with people, I think people were thirsting for something. And, you know, and I think also I had it billed as a special guest, and I had reached out to Jeff Tweedy, and he said yes, and I was very excited. And he actually commented that he thought it was going to end before he got a chance to play for me, which sounds really funny, but it was, you know, very exciting. And, you know, having all those people there cheering me on and supporting me and the musicians and the clubs of Chicago was probably, you know, a great, you know, was the day I'll remember the most.
Yeah, no, I mean, Jeff Tweedy is amazing to get a big star like that showing up. Something else I wondered about. I read that when you started this, you were celebrating your son's, I think it was high school graduation. Belated congratulations to him and you, I guess. Yeah. I wonder, what does your family make of what you've been doing every day?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of them joined in at the time. I have three boys and my wife, and, you know, they would ride bikes down with me. They would jump in sometimes. You know, my son joined me on the first musician, my son Keith, who's 19. He joined me on the first musician, which was MLK Day. It was day 220. And he and two friends jumped in with me while John Langford serenaded us. And, you know, so I think, you know, that support was there all along. And, you know, and I think I was very cognizant during the winter that I couldn't go down there alone, that I needed to make sure that I had, you know, another person there observing.
I understand. I read the New York Times wrote about you, and one of the things I read in there is that one of the things you do for work is driving a paratransit bus, which helps people with significant medical problems, disabilities, to get to medical appointments. I may be making a leap here, but I wonder if you've learned something from, you know, witnessing that fragility of human life, how challenging life can be for some people on a daily basis, you know, tied back to this, you know, inspirational journey you've been on this past year.
You know, I think it's, you know, during the pandemic, it was, you know, a scary time and, you know, a dark time. And, you know, I was able to provide something to people who were, you know, disadvantaged, someone who, you know, they can't skip a dialysis appointment. And so to have that, you know, it made me feel good during a time when there wasn't a lot of good news. And, you know, just on a daily basis, taking, you know, these disadvantaged folks to places they need to attend. You know, that it felt good to me in a time when there wasn't a lot of good news.
So we're coming to the end of our conversation here. I see in your Twitter page, starting Monday morning with a splash, you were out there again. How long does this continue? What's next?
You know, I took a break after 365, so I took 366 off. So I will go often, and but not every day. And, you know, I knew I have a planned vacation coming up at the end of July, early August, and we're driving out to Massachusetts, and there's plans. We're making plans to jump in Lake Erie and Lake Huron. So just trying to bring us some local support and some local musicians to kind of bring, you know, more light to not just Chicago, but the Great Lakes. And it's amazing, an amazing natural resource that we have right in our backyard here in Chicago.
Well, Dan O'Connor, it's been a feat of endurance, and it's been really something to watch you over the past year. Thanks so much for sharing your story with us today on the 21st. Good luck and stay safe.
All right. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
And that is all the time we have for our program today on the 21st. Want to make another note again. We are going to the Abraham Lincoln Presidential and Library and Museum on Thursday this week for our first live show since the start of the pandemic more than a year ago. If you're in the area, you want to pop in and say hello, you can do so. We're still working out exactly what the situation will look like in there. We're not going to have a big audience or anything like that. We are still in the midst of a pandemic after all, but we will be on site in Springfield on Thursday, broadcasting from the Lincoln Museum. Before we go, I do want to also make a pitch to subscribe to our podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, NPR One. Just search for The 21st. We also have links to our podcast at our website, 21stshow.org. Our program is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Chantal Vaca is our engagement producer. Our interns are Zainab Qureshi and Briel Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick's our news director. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.